Well, I've got plenty of time this morning to actually get through what the Lord has laid upon my heart for today. Is that right? I was singing that song at the beginning. What was it now? I raise a hallelujah. We raise a hallelujah. Do any of you know the story behind that? Some do. What happened was, out there in Bethel, you tell me whether I've got the story right, but they were praying for a boy who was terminally ill, and they'd been praying for weeks, and they got the message that he probably wouldn't live the night out. It was all over, finished. And so this worship leader, he just like in desperation wrote this song. You know, I think he picked up his guitar or whatever, come on, let's pray again and what have you. And just in desperation, didn't know what to do. We raise a hallelujah. We hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, this morning, the word of the Lord came as regards, shaking off disappointments. And I think that there's a heaviness sometimes. It can be affected by attendance. No, what's happening, church wife? What's happening? Well, we've got a load of them on a boat enjoying themselves on a cruise. And then we've got about five or six, over at Bridgewater to start with. And then you've maybe got some people that were just like you and discouraged this morning, but you chose to come here and encounter God and meet with him. And others maybe stayed at home, or they've gone away, or whatever. But because that's what we do sometimes. If we fail God, we tend to cower away. And he's saying to you this morning, you know, if you feel that, disappointment has come on you, or you feel that you failed God or whatever, don't run from him, run to him. Press into him that bit more. Because he's loving. And his mercies are new every morning. Is that right? Am I telling you the truth? His mercies are new every morning. Now, you might not feel it. And you might not think that he's merciful. And you might think, well, I've confessed it to God and I still feel bad. I still feel yuck. Okay? But sometimes we have to just make our mind up that we're going to shake the stuff off. We're going to focus on what we know is true. And we're going to say, right, I'm going to raise a hallelujah. I'm going to raise a... It's our choice sometimes. I set before you life and death. Blessing and cursing, which one are you going to choose? And here we are when, after the cross, we still got the same choice. You still got the same choices in life. You know, we've asked Jesus to come into our life. We've made him Lord of our life and what have you. But you know, the scripture tells us, that there'll be some challenges on the way. You're going to come up against some difficulties. People are going to let you down. People are going to hurt you. You're going to have to, things attack your body. I've been discouraged, a little bit with my diet. But who do I blame? I blame myself, not somebody else. I don't blame God for it. You look at the scale and think, oh, is that me or is it God? Oh, God, you could have done better than that. You know, why didn't you wind it back a bit? I'll go buy some new scales. I did. I thought there was something wrong with the scales. I thought, there's got to be. I'm sticking to the diet. You see? And it's time to not allow that despondency, but actually, because the despondency will actually cause you actually to continue, going downwards. You got to choose sometimes that you're going to go upwards, okay? And so I believe that is the word of the Lord for many people here this morning. You choose. Choose. You know, when the other song that we sang, there was a lot of them in this morning that were songs that really should lift us if we actually take those words to heart. I mean, you're never going to be alone. Now, some of you, I mean, often feel, you know, well, where is God? You know, I've got this thing going on in my body and what have you, pains in my body. Where's God gone? You know, I can't get a job. I can't do it. You know, where's God gone? Well, he says, I'm never going to leave you alone. And what we do is we walk by our feelings. We walk by our feelings, not by the word of God. Which brings me right into what I actually want to talk about this morning. And I spoke earlier this year about, what did I speak about? Believing the love of God. And this is part two. Okay? So let's go to the scripture in which I hang it on. 1 John 4, 16. And so we know and rely on the love of love God has for us. Now that feeling of his love is not always there. Many of you probably woke up this morning and not feeling loved. But it comes back to the word of God here and actually says, and we know and rely on. Many of you versions that you're looking at maybe now, it says know and believe. That is the most accurate translation from the Greek. There's an importance of actually believing it when you don't feel it. That he's there. Love, the understanding and the teacher. Some people say, well, you know, Dave Parker talks about love so much. I mean, I remember going to a James Jordan conference in Holland. And that's all he talks about anyway. Father Heart Ministries, talking about the Father Heart of God. And I laid in bed whilst we were at the conference and one night. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm prepared to become a one-trick pony. And I'll talk about the love of God forever if you want. Now, fortunately, God has given me a lot of other things to talk about. Like, for instance, I prepared a word and I still haven't given it yet as regards the importance of feeding on the word of God, of building it into our lives. It's been prepared for a few weeks. Took it to Bridgewater, didn't get a chance to share it. Then came here with it, didn't get a chance to share it. And what have you? Well, it's there and I've got maybe others as well that I'm waiting to share. But the reason why the love of God is so important is because a lot of people's theology and belief system has been dangerously built on what they feel and what they experience rather than on this word. So in other words, when you wake up in the morning and you don't feel loved, what are you going to believe? Are you going to believe that you aren't loved because your body hurts? Or are you going to believe what it says in the Word of God? There are some people out there, whether they're Christians or whether they're non-Christians, they actually don't know much about the love of God. They really don't, and it's hardly ever taught. And then there's those that actually say, yeah, why does Dave Parker talk about it so much? Because I know about the love of God. Of course I do. I know John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I know it. I know it. I know love. I know all about it. I know the theology behind it. But you don't really believe it. You don't really believe it. There's things going on in my body and some aches and pains recently and what have you. And you think, oh, what's going on with my throat and things like that. And is that my bottle of water? Did I bring it up here? Yeah, yeah. And you think, I'm reaching out for healing and things like that. And I'm looking at the scriptures for healing and things like that. And you think, well, the pains have got worse. You know, so I bring myself back to the fact that he loves me. And because there's a danger right at that moment that we build our theology on, well, God can't be in a good mood today, so yeah, that's why he hasn't healed me. You know, or he didn't always heal. He didn't always heal. You know, well, you know, that is actually a little bit of an insult to him. Because although we don't see, like, it's been a sad situation this week when Sid has gone on to glory. And I've prayed for him that many times. Him and his wife came out, I think it was last July, they came out here, she's got a walking aid, she has injections regularly and what have you, and can hardly walk. And the injections, I mean, are for the pain, okay? So they come out, they both give their life to the Lord, they were just stood here and what have you. Both give their life to the Lord. And I pray for them both as regards sicknesses in the body. Okay? She's healed. She hadn't had any injections since last year. Okay? All right? She wouldn't have been able to cope with the running up and down to the hospital all the time and actually nursing him when he's at home if the Lord hadn't healed her. She'd have had no chance. She'd have been actually taken up, I mean, with her own situation. I mean, looking after... You know, she'd need somebody maybe to look after her. And so, but the Lord healed her. And there is a danger then of actually building up a theology and saying, well, you know, maybe some people might even think, well, maybe he loves her more than him. All right, I'm going to build my... God loves some people more than he loves others. Well, no, hang on a minute. God so loved the world. He even loves them out there that don't even know him yet. He loves them just the same as what he loves you. And the other reason why I believe it's so important that we get this ingrained in us. I'll tell you a story. Back in the days of Alec Pedlar, I think it was him that told this story, the pastor in the early 80s. He told a story about this, I think it was a big name speaker. He went to speak in a church and what have you, and for a conference, okay? So every session, this big name speaker speaks about repentance. So after a number of sessions, okay, number of meetings, the pastor takes him on one side and says to him, have you got anything else to talk about apart from repentance? He says, not until you repent. Now, if you've got up this morning and felt like God doesn't love you and the world's going to just fall in on you and what have you, and that's it, or you've lost your salvation because of something you did last night, oh, well, am I still saved? And what have you. Even though I confess my sins, I still don't feel like I'm forgiven. Okay, I come back to another. And God wants to get it ingrained in you that he loves you. That he'll never leave you nor forsake you. So you've got to take it beyond actually being able to go to your Bible and say, oh yeah, I know where all the love scriptures are. I know that he'll never fail me. Whoa! I know that he'll never leave me nor forsake me. I know that. All right. But he wants you to take it the step further and he wants to say, whoa, 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 hang on with these feelings. Hang on, hang on. My business is going down the pan, but hang on, hang on, hang on. He says he'll never leave me nor forsake me, and I've decided to believe it. And it's going to change my day. That choice that you and I had on a morning, okay, when we wake up, did it? Like lights have gone on. These early mornings, you know. You know, you get it up on the morning, it's light. It's not dark. It's nice this time of year, isn't it? And sun's shining as well sometimes. I mean, Karen gets out there in her she shed, her summer house with her coffee on the morning and what have you. And the sun, as it rises, it goes straight in there and it's cooking her. She likes it. It's nice and warm in there, you know, through the glass. So if there's a little bit of wind and a little bit of chill outside, I mean, she's hot. Do you know what I mean in there? nice and warm. It is. So you know, so you make these decisions on a morning. Every day, His mercies are new every morning. He loves me. You know, I want to build my theology on love, okay? When it comes down to healing, the theology of love is like a curtain rail. Or imagine the rail in your wardrobe. You know, you've got a rail there, okay? Now, you've got to hang it on, in my opinion, the theology of love. Because He is love. Love is one of His attributes, but it's not just one of His attributes. There's a lot of other things in the scripture that actually says, this is one of His attributes. This is what God does. You know, like His mercies are new every morning. But where does it come from? It comes out of His love. Why does He heal the sick? Because He loves them. Because He loves you. Because He cares for you. Because He does want to bless you. And the choice is, as we've just read in 1 John 4:16, is choice. I'm choosing to believe. Okay, my back might hurt this morning as I'm walking up and down here and what have you. I might feel funny in my throat and what have you, but it's not changed. I've chosen, I've made a choice to believe that He loves me. It looks like I'm going to lose my job next week or something like that, you might think. He still loves me. He still loves me. And you know, when we've dropped out of that understanding of His love, you know, we've got our eyes away from 1 John 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And I've said many times from the front of here and upstairs and what have you, that's probably the most well-known scripture but the least understood. Because of the fact that we're not talking about something small here when we talk about God giving His only Son. You're talking about somebody who's extremely powerful that could change this universe by spoken word. He could scrap the system that's there, build a new one and what have you. But what does He do? The most precious thing to Him, He chooses to actually put Him through the worst form of execution that you can imagine, protracted over a number of hours, and demonstrates through that cross His love for you and for me. And sometimes we need to just get back to looking at that cross and saying this horrible gibbet, this horrible form of execution is not just redemption. I mean, for me, it's not just, you know, the possibility of being able to say, I'm sorry for this sin and confessing it to Him. It's a demonstration of His love for us. It's a demonstration. And sometimes we need to just come back and focus on the Word of God and focus on that cross and look at the cost of the cross. The cost of it, and the willing, giving heart that God had for such as you and me. You know, let me just read something to you. This is, I hope this doesn't draw us away too much from what I wanted to talk about this morning, but Luke 15. You see, I've been wanting for a little while to talk about, because there's so much about the love of God in the story about the prodigal. And a week or so ago, I thought I'll come back and I want to look at the prodigal again in Luke 15. I just want to focus on it again. And the Lord said to me, read the whole chapter. So I went to Luke 15 and verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered round to hear him. And that just jumped out at me. Do you know, Shine's prophecy at the beginning of this year, as regards God was going to send, I can't remember the exact words, but there'd be people that have done sexual sin and things like that. And, you know, people from prison and what have you, God's going to send them. And it jumped out at me that where the word of God is preached, they will come. If you've got a church whereby they're preaching the word of God, the love of God, the compassion of God, they will come. They want to hear Jesus. They want to hear what he's got to say. And we're not going to be a church that doesn't have compassion. Because a church that has compassion has actually lost an understanding of what it costs for us to get into heaven. For us to have salvation. They've forgotten it. We've forgotten it. As soon as we get into judging other people, we've lost what it cost to have your sin forgiven. Ephesians 3, I won't turn to it because I've quoted it that many times. It talks about being rooted and grounded in love. And in 1 Corinthians 13, to save time, you've heard me say this a few weeks ago as well, and you'll probably hear me say it again. You can have any ministry you want. You can be the best evangelist in town. You can be the best prophetic ministry. But if you ain't got love, you're just a ding-dong. That's basically what it says. You go read it. You can have the most dynamic prophecy this morning, and if you ain't got love for your fellow man, you're just a ding-dong. When I heard years ago that Rodney Howard Brown, who, by the way, when I saw him out in Tenerife a few weeks ago, his 18-year-old daughter had died in his arms a few years ago on Christmas Day, and he actually made a vow there and then. Devil, I will make you pay for her going. I will win 100 million people in my lifetime for Christ. He's on 22 million when I heard him. He's on 22 million. Now, first of all, he thought, well, to get 100 million, I'll have to go to Africa, get the big crowds. And he went there and he did a few. But the Lord said, no, I want you to go back to America. So he went to New York and he had a citywide mission, went to Washington. He went in there. But where am I going with this? When he goes in to do a mission, and I heard him say this actually 2 or 3 years ago, he actually went in there and he actually said that I get the local evangelists together, all them people that think they're an evangelist. He said, I get them all together and what have you. And he says, some of them are about as loving as a scrapyard dog. He called them wrecker's yard dog. But he says they're about as loving, and I send them home and I work with the others. I work with the others. Do you know something? If you're not loving and compare, I mean, Paul talked about this when he was in prison. He talked about, you know, there's people that are actually preaching out there, I mean, for the wrong motive. They aren't loving, they aren't compassionate and what have you. They don't care about them. It's there's something within it that raises their own profile. But Paul said, if by any means that the word of God gets out, whatever. Okay. Let them get on with it. But I tell you what, an evangelist that is loving and caring will win more people than ones who are not. And that's one thing I like about this man down here. It's rare. It's sometimes rare you see it in evangelists that they actually care and love people. They love people. And they know inside them that the driving force behind God, the motivation of this whole thing, is because of his love. You and I wouldn't be here now. We wouldn't have salvation if it weren't for his love. We wouldn't have a message to preach without his love, would we? And I intend to hang all my theology on the rail, the curtain rail, the rail like in your wardrobe and what have you. I tend to hang it on love. Because when I come to pray for people when they're sick and things like that, you know, I want to have a care and compassion for these people. And there's been many times when love has risen up, and I know it's a supernatural love that's come over me. Whilst I'm praying for people, I felt it at times. Compassion. You see, how did Jesus do it in the Gospels? Compassion. He turned with compassion. Sympathy does nothing. Sympathy is, well, let's get home and dinner's due. Let's get home and what have you. You know, oh, well, tough on them and what have you. Yeah, it's sad, isn't it? Yeah, let's go home and have dinner. I mean, you know, but compassion does something. Compassion says, I feel inside me, I got to do something here. And time again, it talks about Jesus having compassion. I weren't planning to say this, so I'm not prepared for it. But I don't know if any of you remember, once I talked about when Jesus had compassion on the leper. And it's actually in three of the Gospels, the same story, but it sounds different. But it was, and you know, you can say to people, well, which one's true? Well, they're all true. It's just looking through different eyes, and it's their recording of it, of what they saw. Now, in one of them, I mean, you know, he worships the Lord. Another one, he throws himself on the floor. Well, I believe he did all that. But Jesus, when he was on the floor, he had to get down on the floor with this leper. You know, you can become so big in ministry sometimes, you're not going to get down to where people are. And sometimes to win the people, you've got to get down in the muck. And that's probably something I'm guilty of. Sometimes not being prepared to get down in the muck where they are. And we've got people in here that actually encourages me within this church. We have got people that will be prepared to sort of sacrifice themselves for others and maybe get down in the muck if need be and get down to their level. You know, you can be criticized for the type of people that you will attract, as it says in Luke 15. I think in some of your translations, particularly the Amplified, I mean, it actually says the extreme sinners or something like that. I mean, you know, if you preach the word of God and you preach it with a heart of compassion and you are loving and caring towards people, they'll come. Because there's something in their heart that's missing. We used to call it the God-shaped hole in man's heart. Man wants a God. But actually, as I've said many times, it's a love-shaped hole. That people are wanting love. They're seeking love in all sorts of places. That's never going to fulfill them until they find the real love. And do you know something? God wants to use you and me for that love to flow through. We're talking about a love that, you know, you see some mums, don't you? And you can see them caring for their children, loving and what have you. I mean, God is a million times more loving than that. And you'll be still shocked. You'll be still moved 1,000 years from now when you get another revelation of how loving he is. Was it Benny Hinn and one or two others have said that when the angels are going around the throne and what have you, saying, holy, 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 and what have you, he says, it's a shock of a new revelation of God. Do you know what that means? It means a new revelation of love. Because he is love. That's what you're going to get, folks. A new revelation of his love. And you're still going to be getting them in heaven. So there ain't going to come a time when we're not going to talk about finances. And if you want to understand finances correctly, it's got to be hung on a right rail of love. We give out of love. We give out of compassion. You give into this church. You give into ministries. I don't want us to get to a place where we put conferences on. And I want to go for some of the big conference, big meetings. I want to go for them, okay? But I don't want to charge. I want the widow with the two mites to still be able to get in the door. You know, if you put prices on them and high prices, they can't get in. But the only way that it's going to happen, folks, is if we have compassion and that compassion is exhibited in the offerings and our givings. It's just a fact of life. So as love and compassion rises up in our hearts, you know, whether you believe in tithing or whether you believe we're in, you know, something else now or whatever, it comes out of compassion. All of it. And if we can't do it out of compassion, 1 Corinthians 13 will soon tell you, forget it. I hear stories about people saying, well, really, so-and-so could give more money. God don't want their money. God don't want it. Unless it tells you in 1 Corinthians 13, it's a waste of time giving it, them giving it. Unless you give it out of love for God, compassion for people, forget it. I heard a story about a man who, when he first started to learn to give, it was in America, and the offering came round, and he probably heard quite a provoking word and what have you, and he put $50 in the offering, and he's watching the basket like this all the time, and he's thinking, what could I do with that $50 and that, you know? I tell you what, God would rather I go take it back. Because it's a bit like you being given a birthday present. And if you could read the person's mind as they gave you the birthday present, they're thinking, you know, I could have bought so-and-so with that for myself. You know, because he can see that. And unless we give it out of the right heart and the right motivation, he don't want it. He don't want it. Keep it. He wants you to put it in there because you love him. Because you care for his work. Because you care for the church. Because you care for the people out there. Because you care for the vision and the people that we want to reach. And just because you care for the people that you meet with on a Sunday. Is that right? That's what the motivation should be. And that's where we're going to hang our theology. Love and compassion. Hosea 4:6, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Do you know something? They don't know they're loved. They've not had the knowledge, the revelation, the understanding. that they're loved. And I'm going to pray for the sick as many times as I can get to pray for the sick, okay? Let's hope I fulfill that. And I get, you know, somebody comes to me, and will you pray for me and what have you? I don't want to turn people away. Don't want to be that type of person. Come on, let's pray. Let's believe God. And I've told you this already the other week. When I went down to Torquay in January or February, was it? February. We're praying for the sick. And I didn't care how long it took to get along that line. I'm here. No, can't feel anything. No change. But I believe in my heart that God loves them and wants to heal them. Now, I can step to the next one and think, well, you know. But if I believe that he loves them, he wants them healed. And so I stay with it. And then I started to see some things. You get into second, third, fourth time of praying. Come on, there's some change. There's something changing here. There's something happening. And a lady came up to me at the end, one of them, and she was stood there in pain with her stomach. No change. I'm still in pain. So I said, well, come on, let's press in. Come on, open up your heart. Get in receiving mode in your spirit. Start to receive. Still no change. Let's pray again. She said, oh, the pain's gone. Pain's gone. Now, she was one of the first ones, so it took me ages to get down the row. You get to the end and what have you, and I'm flagging by then, and everybody's packing up and what have you and going home. But before I went out of the door, that lady came to me and she said, not only had I got pain, she says, but I was discharging blood. She said, I believe that it stopped. I don't know how she knew or whatever, but she said, the flow of blood stopped. But the pain had gone because of this understanding of the fact that he loves. And wouldn't we do it for our children? So somehow the theology is wrong of thinking that he might or might not, or want to, or, you know, he don't change. He changes not, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not like human beings, but we build our picture of God through human beings. It might be our nice, caring dad, or a nice, caring mom, or whatever, and what have you, but we build a picture. And it's not how God is. God is a thousand or a million times more compassionate than that. I mean, how many times in the scripture did people come to Jesus and say, when they said, will you heal me? And he turned them away. You come and tell me. He healed them. Healed them. And so therefore, what I'm trying to say to you is, because you build into your heart the understanding of love, it actually colours your thinking when you actually come to drawing your theology about other areas like the finances, like, you know, the way I relate to my wife, the way I relate to people in the church, the way, you know, whatever it is, our theological basis should be rooted and grounded in love. That's where your roots go down. That's where we're making this our foundation. Matthew 24 and verse 12. I've actually left this till the last, but when I was thinking this week about what I talked about, this was the word that I was carrying for a few days, this verse. Matthew 24, and it was one of the first verses I actually started ministering from 15 maybe years ago as regards the love of God. So some of you have been around a long time or remember me quoting this in the early days. because of the increase of wickedness. And now wickedness, I mean, is a distortion. Distortion of the truth. If you go out there on the Somerset Levels and that, you know how they twist the what is it, those wicker baskets and intertwine them and things like that. You know, this is why it's the slight change in our thinking, because we've allowed circumstances or our feelings affect us rather than the Word of God. Wicked, wicker, twisting, changing. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most. Jesus is talking about the end times. Okay, so we moved into presumably a time when people became more caring, more compassionate, and what have you. And, you know, but according to this, the love of most then went cold. And I believe that there is a danger in our society today. And Dennis got on it last week as regards what's happening in politics and what's happening in Parliament and things like that. Do you know something? We can get caught up in that. And we have our opinion and things like that. And I believe that there's a danger in that, of actually getting sucked into it as regards the world's bickering with one another. We need to come back to get ourselves anchored into the love of God. That He loves me. Now, how do you want me to relate to these people? What is your opinion as regards this? Not the newspapers and the television dictating how I'm going to think. I'm going to think from here. And I am not going to let my love life grow cold, no matter who it is I'm related to. Amen? Let's pray, shall we?